Hey, what's up? We're coming at you, not live, from Frock Quarter South in San Diego, California. It's not the regular Frock crew this week, but it's some familiar voices that you probably heard before. We got Mr. Matt Louvre, the Museum of Comedy.
Yeah, I'll say we're not regular. We're a little bit weird. A little bit crazy.
Oh, man. We're already getting squirrely. You hear that, you guys? That's just a recipe for fun. And we got Joe Sinclitico, formerly Joe King.
Hey, guys. How are you?
He has a really bushy mustache.
It's pretty sweet.
And it kind of bugs me because, like, I remember when Joe was, like, not really that presentable. Like, we'd bring him around my friends, and he just looked like a weird guy. It kind of looked like quasi-homeless. And then now he's like so good looking that he can pull off like a bushy mustache. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, and it kind of bothers me.
Dude, it was always there. It wasn't until recently that I decided to like take full advantage
of being handsome.
Of how handsome I am.
Taking full advantage of your bone structure.
Before, I didn't want to get by on it. But now I feel like I'm established enough that I can let everybody know who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You kind of look like Civil War era Christian Bale.
Okay. Yeah, I was watching a lot of Deadwood when I got the inspiration for the mustache.
There's a little bit of De Niro with the cheek mole too.
It's weird though. Having like a super bushy mustache, it retains smells. Like I used to, when I first got it, I would come home. I broke up with my girlfriend, but I had a girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm. That was recent. So this is this is an open wound.
And she would come. There's an open wound on her because she's dead, and I killed her when we broke up. No, I'm kidding. I would come home, and she would smell my mustache, and she would guess what I ate that day, and she did a really good job of it.
What about when you ate pussy?
Yeah. Actually, the other day, I was having sex with a girl. And it was a new girl, so I had to use a condom. And I can't remember why, but I like licked my finger. Probably it was going somewhere. And I licked my finger, and the condom smell got on my mustache. And then I went to a comedy show. And then I was just smelling that fucking like body bag latex, worst fucking smell in the world.
You condoms dirty Sanchez'd yourself.
Why can't they make them smell better?
I don't know.
Like, how hard is that to, like, I don't know. But there's a part of me, too, that when you smell a condom and it smells like shit, you're like, that's a good condom. That's going to kill all my sperm.
Like, they make it smell more chemically just so you know it's working.
Yeah. But I basically, my mustache smelled like condoms for the entire comedy show.
Again.
You had to use that. I imagine you used that in your act.
I didn't, no.
I'm surprised.
I had people come up usually and don't smell have much my of a mustache.
You could have eaten a breakfast burrito like Motley Crue used to do back in the day. Did you ever read The Dirt?
I like that that's a specific thing that the fucking Motley Crue used to do. Motley Crue used to eat breakfast burritos.
No.
Just like,
no.
Eating breakfast burritos just like Motley Crue.
Dude, what? You look like Nikki Six right now. Hold up the burrito.
Drinking water just like, Kennedy, JFK.
No, but in The Dirt, which is one of the best like trash books that you'll ever read, it's about Motley Crue. And apparently,
I want to read it.
Like, they're all living with, you know, strippers that were paying their rent and stuff.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, they would fuck groupies and they wouldn't have time to shower.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get like the pussy smell off of their dicks, they would like chip in. They would all chip in to buy a breakfast burrito and they would stick their dicks in the breakfast burrito because supposedly the breakfast burrito was the best for taking the smell of groupie pussy off of your dick before you came home.
That's what Led Zeppelin used to do with a shark.
Yeah, is that what they had the mud shark?
Yeah, they had a mud shark. It only works with mud sharks.
Why do you smell briny?
That's in the book.
Yeah, that's in the book.
I'm going to go say that's not true. That's 100% not true.
It's still a great story.
I've heard the burrito thing before, though. That's like that's a hack.
Uh-huh.
Life hack.
Life hack. Stick your dick in a breakfast burrito. So anyway, I'm down here in Southern California because I went to the MTV Movie Awards on Sunday. And I did Allison Rosen's podcast last night, which was fun. She used to be the news girl on Adam Carolla, and now she's not because Adam is mean now, apparently. But anyway, the MTV Movie Awards was an interesting...
Did she talk about that?
Yeah, she has before. Like, he fired her I don't know. There's a long, convoluted reason of why he supposedly fired her. But anyway, it didn't work out, suffice to say. So I was at the MTV Movie Awards, and I don't know if you guys have been to like a lot of movie premieres or things like that, but there's definitely this thing.
So pompous.
No, well, I was. Well,
I don't know.
I was prefacing, but yeah, I know it was pompous. But no, but there's this thing that people do where you can sense people scanning your face, and then when they realize that you're not a famous person, like you can watch it happen where they like file you into the unimportant file,
right?
And it's like every single person. Where you just you're walking somewhere and you're walking in a group and you can see every person that passes by you. They sort of like scan your face for 2 seconds and then like file you in unimportant.
And yeah, I feel like that just is everywhere you go in LA. Like anytime I walk like into a restaurant in Los Angeles, everybody I walk by looks at my face. For a long time, I just was like, wow, like I must be like cool looking or something. But then
you have an actor face though.
Yeah, maybe. So I think it's enough to fool them for a second.
Oh, he's been in child porn.
I've been in child porn. But I think sometimes they go, oh, this guy looks like an actor. And they look at me and go, no, he's nobody. And then they're so I know exactly what you're talking about. I do the same thing, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to know if Misha Barton is eating a brunch with me.
I saw a thing about Misha Barton the other day where it was actually a nip slip pic because, you know, classy internet.
Yeah.
And it said something about her being 29. And I was like, man, I would have thought Misha Barton is like 37 for some reason.
Yeah. 29 in her prime. I want to suck on her pussy, Brian.
Joe has a lot of good freestyles.
There you go.
Oh yeah. So then the other thing that I wanted to bring up was, so I was at the MTV Movie Awards and everybody's like, oh, isn't that terrible? Blah, blah. And no, it's actually easier to sit through than the Oscars. Cause it was like an hour and a half, just tight. It was supposed to start at 5 o'clock and I walked in at 4:57 and it was already going.
It was like tight.
Yeah, really tight. I mean, it's young, you know, it's a young, young award show. It's award young. Show. It's still
from the '90s, born in the '90s.
It's still all up there. Yeah, exactly. And one of the first presenters was Vin Diesel, and he's been singing this Wiz Khalifa song that's like at the end of Furious 7 where it's like the Paul Walker tribute song, and everybody's like, oh, it's like Vin Diesel sings like an emotional song about Paul Walker, and then they freak out and then it goes viral, and then you realize he's done that like in 3 or 4 separate interviews at this point. And so he gets on stage at the MTV Movie Awards and they're playing that as his intro music. So he does it again, like goes off prompter to sing the song. And then I found this interview where he gave an update about Furious 8 and he says it's from Paul.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The fact that the world embraced it and allowed it to be Paul's legacy, it's just a beautiful thing, Diesel told MTV News backstage. Paul used to say that Fast and Furious 8 was guaranteed. And in some ways, when your brother guarantees something, you have to make sure it comes to pass, Diesel said. So if fate has it, fate, F8, then you'll get it. Furious 7 was for Paul. 8 is from Paul.
What does that mean?
I mean, that's...
By the way, I think you can quote dead people and then they can't ever say that they didn't say it.
No,
you
know, dude. He would have wanted me
Paul
to make a lot of money.
Paul told me that I was the best human being that ever lived and that I would carry his legacy on forever.
Well, I forgot the part when he introduced, he's like, oh, no, this is how he brought up the song when he was presenting. He's like, last time I was up here, it was me and Pablo. So, you know, this is like very, this is very emotional for me. Because that's what he called him. That's his like cool ethnic nickname for Paul Walker.
Pablo. Right.
I kind of wonder if he'd be like, hey, Pablo. And then Paul Walker would be like, who, what? What are you talking about?
As long as he said Pablo Walker.
But so what do you think he meant by it came from Paul? What does that mean? Like it came from like they used Paul, the Ouija board?
No, Paul Walker. It was script? Paul Walker's idea before he died. It was always his dream to do Furious 8. Or that's the company line.
Yeah, of course, because neither him or Vin Diesel had any other thing going on. So it's like, it's always been my dream to just do fucking Fast and Furious and stay relevant for the rest of my life.
Like if Corey Feldman dies, it was always Corey's dream to do Lost Boys 17.
Right.
Because that's all he ever talks about and the only movie that he's ever been in.
Like neither one of those guys has done anything recently, right? Like Vin Diesel's not in stuff
anymore. Paul Walker definitely hasn't.
Yeah.
Who are you texting, by the way? hope this is important.
It is important.
You're ruining my podcast.
Am I?
I mean, a little bit.
Fuck. Give me 2 seconds to just ruin it for a little bit more.
Okay. Did you see Furious 7, Matt?
No, I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious movies.
So I didn't really like them.
Chastised by like 5 different people lately.
Yeah.
For this. You didn't like them?
Okay, so I didn't like any of them, and I didn't see Furious 6 or Fast and 6 Fast 6 Furious. I didn't see any of them. I saw all of them up until the 6, and I was like, I hate these movies. They're kind of terrible, and so I'm not going to see Furious 6. And
see, then, I'm a trash human, and uh-huh. I love Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Oh, God. You should definitely see the most recent then. So this one I actually loved because they just owned exactly how stupid it was. And like the serious moments, they would cut back to Vin Diesel, who has like a chubby like neck waddle now. And
they don't.
I think that's redundant.
That's how all the right. movies are. They're all so stupid. It's just this one was the stupidest of them all and also the most expensive. So it was like, but the action sequences were kind of awesome.
Did you turn your mic off on accident?
No.
Okay, sorry.
The action sequences were awesome, but the in-between parts are the worst shit you've ever seen.
But it's like good, bad.
0%.
It's good, bad.
But it's hilarious because like, there's literally not a single actor in the entire movie that can act. The writing, it was like dolphins.
It was like dolphins wrote the movie like by like pointing at letters through like an underwater. You know what I mean? Like it just makes no sense whatsoever.
Okay, you don't have to go that close, but
okay. Can you hear me?
Just keep it consistent.
Moving mic problem.
I don't have my normal rig here. I usually have my condenser mic.
The mustache.
But if you like Vin Diesel, you would love it. I mean,
no, I think they realized that. Like before, there was always this part of the action at least relied a little bit on it being somewhat believable or there being like realistic stakes.
Yeah, they tried to anchor it in any reality.
Yeah, and then this one, they're like, oh no, nobody cares about that all. They just want to see like the most ridiculous stunt.
Yeah.
Where Paul Walker has to jump off of like a thing falling off a cliff and Michelle Rodriguez like swings the butt of the car around and he grabs onto the spoiler.
Is she tough but also sexy in
this
movie?
Believe it or not, she's a hardcore Latina.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she like a strong female lead?
Oh, by the way, she has amnesia. I don't know if you know that is a plot point in the movie.
I thought you meant in real life.
She might also
that's
have
why
it
she played
life.
The same role all the time. Yeah. She just forgot.
Yeah. I think she died in one of the... it has a really convoluted timeline.
She died, but then they found out she just had amnesia and she was rolling with a different crew.
I think that... Was that actually what happened?
Yeah. And they found her out and they were like, hey, you're rolling with the different crew, but you're actually part of our crew.
Was there a moment where she like realized like, oh, these are the guys I used to keep it real with?
No, she never realized it until this most recent one when Vin Diesel flies a fucking car into a helicopter and then her
like inside of a helicopter like lands it and
through the helicopter through the hole in the helicopter
there's one serious moment there's one serious moment early in the film where Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez are standing over Letty Ortiz's tombstone.
Is she also a strong Latina?
No, well, Letty is Michelle Rodriguez. That's her character's name.
Oh,
Letty.
Wait. So she's standing over her own grave?
Yeah, because they thought she was dead. They call her Ghost Girl now. Oh. They thought she was
Did
dead.
Did she say something sassy?
No. So Vin Diesel is he's in a sleeveless t-shirt in a cemetery, and he's brought a sledgehammer with him because he's going to smash her fucking tombstone.
I didn't understand that part.
So he was going to smash her tombstone, but she's like, no, I think that person is dead. she's going to stay buried like she is dead. I don't even remember what she was anymore.
But then she did remember.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there was an emotional flashback scene to their wedding where Vin Diesel is wearing like white pants and a white wife beater with like a big diamond crucifix.
Yeah.
His wedding.
His formal crucifix.
Yeah. Well, his formal wife beater.
Right.
And then his blingiest crucifix.
And then everybody in the pews is shitting and throwing it at each other. No. But that would be really cool. There's also a part where Paul Walker's wife is pregnant, but she doesn't. She goes to Vin Diesel. Paul Walker doesn't know. She tells Vin Diesel. She goes, "Hey, so guess what? I'm pregnant again, but I can't tell Paul because he'll leave the crew, and you need him for this last mission, so I can't tell him. And then Vin Diesel's response to that is, he goes, this is, by the way, this is, we're discussing a woman who's pregnant telling her husband that she's pregnant. Okay, that is the, whether or not that this, happened.
With the second child.
Right. Yeah. And Vin Diesel goes, you should tell him. You got to tell him. And that's the whole fucking, it's like,
and
yeah, you
scene.
Should tell your husband you're fucking pregnant. What are we talk? What is this talk? This is retarded. Why is that even like a plot point? You should tell him. Just kind of throw away.
I couldn't. I had to cover my whole face with my hands every time there was a serious moment with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Because he's always wearing a sleeveless t-shirt, and he's like not fit anymore. He's like a he looks like a fat like ex football coach.
He's got a big.
He earned that gut though.
He does. Oh yeah. He did kind of earn it, and like he'll be wearing like a button down. And it's like a fitted button
down.
Does
it have sleeves?
But it gets real tight around the stomach. Like,
yeah, and then there's no sleeves.
It's not like a kind of a gut. It's like a fucking legit gut. It's like a cholo gut.
Right.
So he just looks like that guy at the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it'll cut to him and he's doing something really serious, but he's wearing a button down that's tight with no sleeves. And he's got like this waddle on his neck. And it kind of makes him look like a dog with an underbite. He kind of looks like a boxer doggy. And so every time he'd be serious, it'd be like they cut to a reaction shot of a doggy. Yeah. But he could talk. Yeah. And he kind of talks growly too. So he'd be like, gotta tell him, rough, rough. And I just couldn't stop laughing. And everybody's in the theater. I mean, this was a packed theater. And they're kind of taking it seriously. Like, I love the movie, but like I wasn't taking it seriously.
People were bawling when I left.
Right.
People were crying.
You mean like
and
fucking?
I literally, a woman went, oh, like when the Paul Walker montage thing, she went, oh, like just a fucking moan.
Wait, yeah. There's like a commemorative montage at the end of the movie?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like
yes.
A retrospective?
Yeah.
Like, dude, when someone gets kicked off the island on Survivor? They did like
yeah, exactly. Totally. No, it gets better. So early in the movie, there's a scene where like Kurt Russell plays this government heavy. Who's
Kurt Russell's in... And yeah.
Russell's the only person in the movie that's a good actor, by the way. He actually kind of kicks ass in it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
I mean,
not surprising.
Vin Diesel's good at being Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
But Vin
He's
Diesel,
the most Vin
here's
Diesel.
Here's the weird thing about Vin Diesel. I guess all these movies are directed by some like Chinese dude or something.
Well, so this one's James Wan, who did The Conjuring, and the few of the other ones are Justin Lin, who did, I forget what he did, like Better Luck Tomorrow. And
so it's two different Asians named Justin, and I'm just confused.
Yeah, got no, James and Justin.
Got it. Oh, yeah. James and Justin.
Yeah.
Justin Wan and
James Wan and Justin Lin.
Got it. Wasn't one of those guys the NBA player that was like that's kind of a breakout star?
That's Jeremy Lin.
Okay. But they're brothers.
I think so. Probably. I mean, there can't be that many Lins.
But you can tell whoever directed it never gave Vin Diesel a single note. It's all Vin Diesel's
Which
choices.
Is what you should do.
Because they're just fucking like, you know, he has to... There's a point where Vin Diesel decides that he's going to drive off a cliff. And you go, oh, well, he's got like a button that he's going to press. No, he just drives off a fucking cliff and crashes the car. And that's how he gets away.
He crashes like seven.
Nothing smart about it.
Right.
But there's this really long shot of Vin Diesel's face as he hatches the plan. And then this smile just overtakes his face like, I fucking figured it out. I'm so smart. I'm going to drive the car off this cliff.
And then, when Paul Walker's riding shotgun, he's like, Dom, cars can't fly, Dom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 5 minutes before this, you guys actually jumped the cars out of a plane. Right. So
I really want to see this movie now.
It's so good. It's awesome. So good.
You can't, you are kind of, it is kind of like you're baffled by how terrible it is. And then you just at a certain point give into it.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's terrible.
It's what every Fast and Furious movie should have been. And it's exactly what every Michael Bay movie should.
Yeah,
like
also,
if Michael Bay wasn't such a grating cheese ball, like that's what a Michael Bay movie would look like.
And they're absolutely all the action sequences. I was on the edge of my seat like, whoa, this is fucking crazy. Like they were legitimately awesome. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, oh shit, this is crazy. Like this is fucking awesome. Like, I don't know how else to put it.
They wreck every car.
Way, but yeah.
You know, I was kind of sad that they discontinued the XXX franchise.
Yeah.
Really?
Not just kind of. I was a lot of sad that they stopped doing those.
Those are pretty good. Where the bad guy's name was Dick and he keeps calling him Dick, like, derisively.
I don't remember. Yeah, I do remember that.
I don't know,
he was
Dick.
The leader of Anarchy 99.
I'm on board with any movie where there's a bad guy that's Russian, but he's just Russian in the most obvious bad guy Russian way.
Yeah.
I just love that.
If I remember correctly, there was like a stunt that involved him like rail grinding. There was a couple of stunts where it was like he had to rail grind on something that wasn't a skateboard, right, but he could do it because he was an extreme sports athlete.
Right.
Yeah, like a seagull or something. But I was even on board when Mickey Rourke played that Russian guy in Iron Man 2.
Oh, that had so much potential.
God, that was awesome for a second. Like when he hit the car with the whips and he was angry about something about his father, but he drank vodka.
That movie had all the ingredients to be good.
It would have been great if that movie, the villain, was just his character from The Wrestler.
Randy the Ram.
Was that his name?
Yeah. Andy the Ram.
Do you think he dies in the end? I don't remember.
Who?
The Wrestler? Match, and then...
And it cuts to black. It's like the Sopranos ending.
I never watched this. I'm not my dad. I never watched
Sopranos. Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know.
Playing the
age
card again.
I don't know why I had to flex on you about the Sopranos.
That's fine. But
no, I never saw the Sopranos.
Yeah. Well, it was all right. I feel like it got a lot more credit than it would get now because it was the first...
Serialized
television
cool,
for adults.
The first box set
that
ruined lives.
Pretty much.
Right.
You know what's great? Sorry to go back to Vin Diesel, but I was just thinking about when he was singing that song.
You don't ever have to apologize for talking about Vin Diesel.
But you know what's great about him is...
Vin Diesel means never having to say you're sorry.
If I saw any other celebrity... Here's the thing about Vin Diesel. Is like, if I see any other celebrity, like... he thought it would be a good idea to sing this song on the MTV Movie Awards, I would feel bad for them because I'd be like, oh, they're going to be embarrassed later. But you never have to feel bad for Vin Diesel because he's never going to be embarrassed.
Never.
There's not a single thing he could do that he made the decision to do. It's already, he already knows it's the right fucking thing to do 100%.
It's all reptilian brain.
Yeah, he can't be embarrassed.
He's not. He's just all instinct.
Yeah. Like there's a point after he sings the song and he just kind of goes... like
oh,
fuck,
Vin.
I'm cute. I'm such a cute Diesel. That's not his real name, by the way. Mom Diesel?
Really? No way.
Papa Diesel?
I think he was descended from Reginald Q. Diesel the IV.
What's his fucking real last name?
I forget.
It's Walker.
I think he's one of those guys where he like refuses to say what his ethnic makeup is because he's like, doesn't matter.
Did you ever see the original movie that got him discovered by Steven Spielberg for Saving Private Ryan?
The one,
where he goes in auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a piece of shit. That's a stupid thing.
Well, the first 2 minutes I thought he was actually playing that character and then I realized he was like, it doesn't tell you that he's an audition.
You guys, can you guess what Vin Diesel's real name is? Can you just take
is it Polish?
Fucking what would be his first? I'm just gonna give it to you.
Gino
Alberto or something.
It's Mark Sinclair. Like, oh, man, look how fucking off. Weird that looks. That'd never be a famous. Just next to him, Mark Sinclair.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, that sounds like a character in Furious 8.
He has a fraternal twin brother.
What?
His frat bro.
I have so many frat bros. That's not that cool.
It's weird.
I have so many fraternal brothers.
Like half of this podcast is going to be Vin Diesel talk.
Yeah, no. Actually, I wanted to ask you, but I mean, Matt Louvre, the Museum of Comedy, moved down to San Diego.
Same.
What's
here
that?
I am.
Yeah, and here you are. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, you too, man.
So you worked at the La Jolla Comedy Store for a while.
God damn it. I wasn't going to name it, but okay, fuck it. Yeah,
La Jolla Comedy Store. If you don't want me to, I can edit this out.
Okay, it is... Well, I don't know if I really care. So, a comedy store.
Uh-huh.
A place where you...
Where one might shop.
One might shop for comedy. Mm-hmm. Take some comedy home with you. I worked for 2 weeks and had an ignominious end...
And
tenure there.
And how'd that go? Please tell us about
ignominiously.
That. Okay. I'm looking up that word.
So I worked at this named slash unnamed comedy club for 2 weeks and quit and was fired simultaneously. So one of my responsibilities, I was like a door guy. One of the things I had to do on top of like picking up dirty glasses or whatever was I had to change the marquee outside by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And their high tech system.
Suction cups.
No. If it had been section, like that's
you
some
have to
like
stand on a super tall ladder.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that happen
right.
before.
So it's this marquee that's like 20 feet in the air, and they just lean a ladder up against the actual marquee. So right. it's supported by nothing except the actual frame of the marquee, and you have to crawl all the way to the very top of it.
Yeah.
And they don't even have anybody hold the bottom of the ladder, right. so it's already terrifying.
Yeah.
So one night I'm up there at the top of the ladder, changing the letters, like reaching to the full extent of my arms, like afraid for my life already. And then there was this guy who was in the show who was really drunk and had come out of the club and had gotten caught by the security guard trying to pee on the side of the building. So he got kicked out of the show and was disgruntled. And came over.
Hey, you should go outside with that guy on the ladder.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who he tried to kick the ladder out from under.
Did he say anything? He just.
Well, he said some shit afterwards. So, like, I was changing the ladders. I felt a bump, like the ladder shake.
Uh-huh.
And I looked down, and him and the security guard are, like, in a shoving match.
Oh, man.
And then, like, I panicked and crawled down the ladder. And what had happened was this guy had been standing in front of the bottom of the ladder next to the security guy and just in the heat of the moment had tried to kick it out from under me, and the security guard stopped him in time, thankfully, but his foot still connected with the ladder. And the guy like ran off into the night and drove home.
So he basically tried to assassinate you, and the guy slapped the pistol away like at the last minute.
Yeah.
And it sort of just winged you in the shoulder.
I will say this one good thing about this comedy club, which is that they employ an excellent security guy who probably saved my life, because I was like 15, 20 feet above concrete, and that was probably the closest I've come to dying.
And you've gone face to face with a grizzly bear, so.
Allegedly. Yeah, no, that's true. A couple of times.
This is not your first brush with death rodeo.
No, this was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. So, that's
a strong statement.
The security guy told me to like clock out for the night, and I like called the cops and shit. So I was like standing outside of the venue waiting for the cops to show up. And then the manager of the place comes out, and the security guard told him what had happened and that he had told me to clock out. And the manager's reaction was like, "Oh, do you need me to call a therapist for you for your PTSD?"
Yeah.
And then I didn't really respond to that because, like, I was new. And this was the first dialogue I had had with a guy after 2 weeks of
working. Want me to call you a wambulance,
yeah,
pussy?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you want me to call the fire department to come blast the sand out of your vagina?
Yeah.
Fucking faggy.
Like, it was that guy. Anyway, long story short, I found out that the ladder was, surprise, surprise, not up to the health and safety codes. Mm-hmm. So I brought this to his attention. He did not want to do anything about it, continued to imply that I was never in any danger in the first place and that I was being a pussy, got into a big shouting match, and then...
Well, look, it's unreasonable for you to expect someone to buy like a $100 so ladder dumb. And yeah. or... have someone hold it while you're there so people can't kick it out from underneath you?
Because that's really hard. I mean, to have someone go and like use both of their hands to hold a ladder, it's just...
It's out of the question.
You're being dumb right now, Vince.
You're being a bitch.
You're being a bitch.
I'm not a bitch. Have you seen me, bro? I'm not a bitch.
Why'd you even need the ladder, pussy? Fucking scale that wall. Dangle from your
but
legs.
I do like the idea that comedy clubs sort of treat the comedians like they're El Salvadoran illegal aliens, where it's like, he'll do it. He's a fucking comedian.
That's so much lower of an immigrant than a Mexican immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, latitudinally,
you felt that too.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I was Guatemalan,
right?
In that moment,
Joe, you've had to work. Did you ever work at any comedy clubs, or are you always just?
No, I've never worked at any comedy clubs, but I mean, I've certainly worked with comedy clubs, like as a promoter and producing.
I mean, you've been doing comedy since you're like 16, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's very, very like in general, the managers of comedy clubs think, why do we need these fucking comics? Like, that's the they're just so annoying. Like, we could just get these people in there and give them drinks and food.
Right.
You know, why do we need the comics? You know, they literally just, they don't understand that the people are there to see us. I mean, that sounds overly simplified, but they literally don't get it. I mean, they just are fucking, unless you're like a famous comedian, and then they can't try to suck your dick fast enough. But if you're a nobody comic, and I've seen it switch like overnight, like, you know, a comic that the managers treat like shit all of a sudden gets on, you know, some reality show or whatever, and all of a sudden now they are so fucking nice to him and, you know, buddy buddy with him. But yeah, I mean, certainly I think a lot of comedy club managers, I'm not talking about owners, I'm just talking about managers. I mean, they're just like every other restaurant manager. They fucking hate their lives. You know, they're like waiters or bartenders, and they just kind of went, hey, I'm 35. I should probably get a career in something. And then they just like stepped up to managing.
I kind of commiserate. I kind of commiserate on some level because, I mean, in San Francisco, where most
comics are annoying too.
Well, yeah. Well, in San Francisco, most of our open mics and shows are at just bars. They're not at like comedy clubs.
Yeah.
So like a comedy club, people are going there to see the comedians. But if you just have a restaurant and someone convinces you to have an open mic one night,
100%.
And especially in San Francisco, where there's like 100 comedians that will show up to your open mic, there's way more comedians there than there are in San Diego, and you get a bunch of like 100 broke dudes who are all ordering water and they get up there and they start shouting like pussy on the microphone and basically chase every normal customer out of the restaurant. You're like, yeah, this seems like a pretty terrible deal. If you're the bar owner at this point.
I mean, I guess I'm talking specifically about comedy club managers.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily, I mean, I would say the majority of the time, they're not people that are like, I really like comedy. They just like answered an ad to fucking work as a you know,
the
bartender.
The origin story of this manager who fired me, he was hired on as like a loss prevention guy who was hired specifically to fire some of the staff and to cut corners and to be like the hard ass on budgeting and shit. And he exactly as you described, not only doesn't like comedy, but actively like dislikes and does not give a shit about comedy or comedian at all.
Realistically, even if you loved comedy, I mean, how long working there would it take before you hated comedy? I mean, 6 months,
just
a year?
Just promoting and producing the shows, I don't ever want to talk to comedians ever. I literally sometimes I walk into comedy clubs and I see a comedian on stage and look at the audience, I go, and I have this disdain for them. I'm like, why are you fucking here? You should have gone to see like Thor. Like, you could have seen Thor.
Yeah.
And you're fucking here listening to this shit, you know? It's like so weird. It just, you just turn on the whole situation. And I mean, most comedy clubs too, here's the other weird thing is like most comedy clubs, like if you took away the stand-up comedy, they would be on par with like a TGI Fridays.
Right, yeah.
They're basically a TGI Fridays with stand-up comedy. Like,
yeah, we could sling some club sandwiches.
Yeah.
Get like a couple draft beers. We make a decent living.
A cool, you know, we serve craft cocktails and fucking Kobe beef sliders. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, here's a diarrhea sandwich and a fucking butthole taco.
We have chicken tenders. Chicken. There's a club sandwich.
There's a comedy club in a very, very famous comedy club in Los Angeles that every time I eat there, I've eaten French fries there and gotten diarrhea.
Is this a place where you would go to buy comedy?
Yes. No. It? No, okay. It's not. Right. It's okay. Not. Not that place. Not that place. Different place. But
would it be like a kind of place where like if you hadn't done your homework and you just had to sort of wing it, kind of, you know, where you didn't plan? And you instead of being studied, you sort of just had to.
I don't think so.
No, okay.
This is a place where
you had to go off script.
Jokes would be produced on a mass scale.
No. No. Neither one of those places. Okay.
I wonder if people know what the fuck we're talking about.
Is it
like a home that's really cold? And it's outside of Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's like where Eskimos might live. Like a synonym for
igloo. I don't know what you're saying right
now. Somewhere where the Death Squad plays, maybe.
But I've gotten, like, and the French fries, like, have given me diarrhea. And it's just like, what? How hard is it? I drank
and
a
you know
Diet
they're
Coke.
Frozen
I
French fries, right?
I drank a Diet
right?
Coke there one time, and it was embalming. It was like the flavor of embalming fluid.
Do they have?
I
they
spit
just
it
have
out.
Brian Redband.
Time out. Special guest TJ is actually a food and beverage manager. So I think he might be able to weigh in here.
Yeah, check the ice machine. Those things are nasty. Any lower place, but anything deep fried like French fries, you're fine.
Because it's probably like the staff's like storing stuff in
I'm
the
saying.
Ice machine.
How do I get diarrhea from French fries?
That might be you.
It wouldn't be the French fries. Anything you
it ate. That was the only thing I ate.
Yeah, if it's deep fried in there, what bacteria is going to live in it? That's why I always drink a bunch of alcohol. You go to
maybe
place.
The guy had poo on his fingers when he put the from the basket, or maybe the basket was dirty.
Ah, cross contamination,
or like the basket itself, or something.
They come out so hot, no one would touch those. That'd be the least likely thing to get food poisoning from.
That's what I'm saying, though. That I mean, that was
ice in there. Ice is nasty.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
So maybe it was from a soda.
Saying yeah. Ice machines get mold and mildew. I'm translating because he's not on the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your shower would.
Yeah.
Like your shower would.
Yeah.
But yeah, like those are full of bacteria.
Yeah.
They have to be cleaned out regularly.
I also just always have diarrhea.
That's a key part of the story.
Just 100%. Yeah, I believe me, like, I mean... Sometimes, like, we promote comedy shows, and we'll, like, pack the comedy show. I've literally had comedy club managers be like, this is way more people than we thought were going to come, than you said was going to come. And I was like, is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
Like, angry at me
mm-hmm.
because there's more people than I originally expected. You know what I mean?
I don't think I've ever seen like a manager happy. Like even when we did like the Film Drunk Show at Cobb's and we packed the place.
Yeah, that was like...
And I was like, oh, these people have to be stoked.
800 people, yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, hey, fucking green room's over there, stupid.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be in my office. Oh, all right,
yeah.
Cool.
I think it's just restaurant managers in general. They're dealing with so many fucking people and it's always such a like... There's always just some... fire drill going on where
yeah.
the
I was putting out
person,
so many fires today.
And then just I think the type of people that are waiters and waitresses, like a lot of time they're all fucking each other. Half of them are getting drunk.
Right, it's like you have to deal with
working.
You have to deal with comedians and waiters who
oh
are basically
God.
Comedians that don't do comedy.
Who yeah. are basically
I feel
actors.
Bad.
Yeah, who are basically yeah. actors. Yeah,
I feel bad for comedy managers after this discussion. No.
I
no,
don't specifically not this one who's a cunt who I hope dies. Anyway, moving
so,
on.
So, Joe, you went to you had to drive someone to Coachella this weekend?
I acted as a private driver for a friend of mine to get to and from Coachella.
Mm-hmm. And he had a Leonardo DiCaprio story.
No, this other dude that was staying in the hotel. So this other dude that... Well, you fucking ruined the story. You should have just led into the Coachella story.
You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't know you're. I didn't know.
I don't even want
to
tell.
I thought you were like half on your phone and you needed to be prompted. I didn't know. Just tell the story.
So this dude I knew, he's at Coachella. He sees a super fucking hot girl, gorgeous. She's making out with this dude, and he's kind of like fat and chubby. And schlubby, and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And this girl is gorgeous. She's like, I can't take my eyes off the situation because I don't know what the fuck is going on. And the dude is just dressed in like a bullshit hat. Looks like he's got like a free t-shirt on. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And then the guy sees that my friend is watching him make out and kind of looks up and goes, what's up? And this dude realizes, oh, that's fucking Leonardo DiCaprio. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? And then Leonardo DiCaprio just goes back to making out with this chick. Then my friend's standing there. A couple minutes later, he overhears Leonardo DiCaprio say to her, wait here. I'll be right back. Leaves. never comes back, which is amazing. I was like, how long did the girl stand there waiting? He goes, I left like an hour later from that show. She was still standing there. She probably fucking stood there all the rest of the festival, like 12 more hours. Like, maybe he's going to come back. And meanwhile, there's probably 17 girls. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio is just going from one girl to the next girl to the next, making out with he's a fucking legend for that, dude. Hold on, I'll be right back. Just wait here. Just never fucking come back.
Hey, babe, wait here.
Yeah.
Do you see the story about him leaving the club with like 50 girls in tow?
No.
That made headlines? Yeah, it was just like a couple months ago.
I think it was 26.
I like how people are surprised by that.
It's still a respectable number.
It was 26 girls. It was Art Basel. It was a party at Art Basel.
Is that a club?
No, it's a... it's a art festival that goes on every year in Florida.
I think this is
Miami.
A different story. I think this is a different train that he was the conductor of.
This is the same one. He was at an after party at Art Basel, because Art Basel is like this very, it's like this crazy art deal, and there's like these wild parties in Miami. And he was there with like 23 chicks, or he left. They saw him leaving with 26 chicks or 23 chicks.
No,
that's fine. No, I must have been remembering it wrong, because I thought he was at an L.A. club.
No, it was Art Basel, and he just went.
He's probably really sad though. I mean, he probably didn't feel.
Yeah, he's probably so sad. Yeah.
Why would he ever be sad?
He's empty inside.
Why would he ever allow himself to be sad?
I feel like that probably didn't fulfill him.
Like,
you know?
He can have a moment. Like, he could literally just be like, "I want a dolphin." Like, he just gets bored. I'm on a dolphin. And then they just have to find Leonardo DiCaprio a dolphin.
Otherwise, you're fired.
Otherwise, you're so fired. I want it.
Well, you can't have a dolphin. Dolphins.
I want it. I imagine him going to parties, like Victoria's Secret parties, just with like a white t-shirt, his fucking gut. There's pizza stains on the white t-shirt. He doesn't have shoes on. He has pajama bottoms. And he's just wandering around this Victoria's Secret party, going up to the Victoria's Secret models, and then pulling out like a crinkled Victoria's Secret catalog, and then turning the page to where the girl is, and then just scribbling her phone number on their bellies, and then leaving. And then later he just sits at home. He just fucking pulls that crinkled up Victoria's Secret catalog, goes through it. Like, maybe he doesn't even fuck the chicks that are in the, like, he's like, oh, you're in the fucking, you're not even in the lingerie, you're in the swimsuit section. I'm not talking to you.
It's a step down.
It's the best.
Yeah,
because it's like, you go, oh, you're Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, you're Leonardo DiCaprio, dude. You could, if you wanted to, you can literally have sex with only the most beautiful woman in the world at that moment, like the biggest supermodel in the world. Of course, you wouldn't actually do that, because that would be like insanely superficial and nobody would really be that much. That's exactly what he does. He only fucks the highest paid supermodel in Victoria's Secret at that time. So great.
But doesn't he? I mean, I guess he wouldn't have to talk to him that much, but I feel like having to carry on a conversation would be prohibitive.
With the Victoria's Secret model?
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't talk to
what
him.
What does he need to say? I'm Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but I guess he just says, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio, and hey, I'll be back.
Yeah.
That's the extent of the conversation. Hey, babe, wait here. I'm going to go pee.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hang out with Leonardo DiCaprio. There's nothing he couldn't do to me.
Well, but then you'd be buddies with Toby.
He's all, I'm going to sit on your lap. Okay. And then he just shits in my lap. And I just be like, it's a cool man.
That was funny. That was funny, Leo.
Yeah, haha, Leo. We're good.
Hey, man, we still good? All right, cool. I'm gonna go clean up.
Yeah.
Don't you think there's something kind of horrifying about just being able to do whatever you want? Don't you think that's why so many like A-listers kill themselves?
Yeah. Maybe. He doesn't, though. He's like Joffrey. Like, he just embraces it fully.
But yeah, but wouldn't he get bored and have to like shoot people with crossbows eventually?
I think, but do A-lister? Yeah,
I think I would eventually just have sex with a man, at that level.
Well, they're all actors; they all have anyway. Do you know the story about like Bill Murray,
which
doing the shit with the shit, where he like ambushes strangers?
Oh, well, yeah, I've heard that.
I have a friend who like has a friend who that happened to.
Yeah.
So totally true.
That he ambushes strangers?
Yeah, that he
did. Your friend have a student named LaDasha?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who that is.
You haven't heard that story? I feel like I've heard this story from like at least four people who were like, dude, no. My friend is a substitute teacher and there was this girl, this black girl in the class, and her name was LA and then a hyphen and then A, and they couldn't figure it out. And then she's like, my name's LaDasha. It's like an urban, it's like a Snopes story, but I've heard it from like
Bill
real
Murray
human.
Fucks her,
yeah. And then Bill Murray says, you'll never believe my name is LaDasha.
The deal with Bill Murray is like, apparently he just sneaks up behind strangers and does weird shit to them. Yeah. And then it's just like, who will ever believe you?
Yeah.
And my friend has a friend who this like happened to. He was in a hotel and was walking down a hallway. And then Bill Murray turns the corner at the opposite end of the hallway. And the guy was like, oh my God, you're Bill Murray. And then Bill Murray charges him and tackles him to the ground and then whispers in his ear, who will ever believe you? Then runs away.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. That's and amazing. There's like tons of people who report stories like this.
You probably could tackle almost 100% of the people that recognize you as Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Like, I mean, that'd be your workout.
Yeah.
So I have a Bill Murray story.
You do?
Yeah. So I was at South by Southwest, and we were at the Up Rocks house, which was
the MTV tent.
No, it's the Up Rocks house. We had a concert venue.
That's cool.
And I forget who Bill Murray came to see. I think he came to see Best Coast. And so Bill Murray came in, and
that's so weird.
He came into like the VIP. There was like this VIP section, which I was in. Drinking tequila with my boss, who is the president of Up Rocks. And then Bill Murray came into the section, and the security guards are like, all right, you guys got to get out of here. You guys got to get out. And they kicked us all out.
Of the VIP section?
Of the VIP section of the Up Rocks house with the president of Up Rocks.
Was he like, what?
No, because he's just not that kind of person.
Okay. We're on an Up Rocks, but that sounds so weird.
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny.
Especially just to be able to be around. Like, why does Bill Murray need the entire VIP section?
I don't think Bill Murray says to do that. I think just security guards are like, oh, well, obviously there's a big celebrity here. I got to get this riffraff out.
God, security guards are just the worst. They're all driving around Coachella. It was like they were half retarded people, like just trying to talk to him. Like Coachella. The where it happens is like this really, really small town. So every year when 100,000 strangers come into town and all the shit that comes with it, like all the cars and stuff, it just goes to shit. And it was like they were the entire time they're just scrambling to figure out a way to get people in and out of this festival. And so like it was just a nightmare trying to pick my friends up. Mm-hmm. And every time I tried to talk to one of the security guards, they were just like they would literally tell me a different thing every security guard I asked.
Yeah.
And finally I called one of them a retard.
Oh.
And he tried to block me with his golf cart.
Uh-huh.
And I was screaming at him and he was screaming at me from his golf cart, and he was like had blocked me in with his golf cart, and then I had to like drive around him. It was evasive
maneuvers.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that at the Gathering of the Juggalos. But I mean, because it's the same thing where it's like this, but it's even smaller town.
Yeah.
And the people that show up there are even crazier.
Yeah.
But I appreciated the security guards, because we'd go up to a security guard and we'd be like, hey, man, we're in lot of Wicked Clown. Like, where do we go? And like usually security guards will just tell you a thing because, you know, that's their job, to just tell people what to do. And
yeah.
I'm sure at Coachella, all the different ones, they don't know what they're doing, but they're just like, oh, yeah, go over there, do this, do that.
Yeah, just get away from me.
Yeah, but at the gathering, the security guards would just be like, dude, fuck, I don't know.
Like, fuck, dude. Good question.
No, they said that. We're like, hey, so this is, we'd show them the map. This is where our spot is. You know where that is? He's like, I don't know, dude, that's a good question.
Thanks, man.
All right, cool.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, see ya.
That's awesome.
I told you about, I was telling Joe about the Bobcat Goldthwait set I saw at Sundance. And
I thought you were going to say the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Well, it was about Gathering of the Juggalos, which is why I responded so well. And Bobcat, he just tells stories. He doesn't really do bits, but his stories are all so incredible. And he's talking about how he went to Gathering of the Juggalos. And like you just like the comedians, I saw Jim Norton. I saw when you see the comedians, they just pull up to like a fucking abandoned tent at like 1 a.m. And it's not like Coachella where there's like a huge crowd. Like Gathering the Juggalos is not that densely populated. Like there's maybe like 6,000 people at this giant campground. So at like 2 a.m, half of them might be like on drugs in the woods or something. Right. Like, you know, they might not be around to see the comedy. And Bobcat's talking about how he's like scared out of his mind because they're just driving him from some abandoned trailer to like a giant tent, like in a golf cart, and with all these people that are like half naked and dressed like clowns, and they all like have like murder written on their chest and shit. It's definitely like an intimidating experience when you first go there. And I'm sorry if I'm ruining his story, but I don't care. But so... And he's kind of scared. And this guy who's driving him is this guy, Upchuck the Clown, who like drives the comedians around. It's kind of like the MC. And he's been doing it for like 10 years. And Upchuck's the Clown's like, nah, man, they're fine. Like, I've been doing this. I've been coming here for 10 years. They love me here, you know?
Yeah.
And all the juggalos, I've seen this in person, where they kind of bust Upchuck's balls. But as they get drunker, like, who knows what they're going to do? And Bobcat's like, so this guy's only, yeah, man, I've been coming here for 10 years. Don't worry. Like, it's cool. And then people would be like leaning in and just socking Upchuck the Clown in the face and calling him a fucker. And he's like, and he would like sort of laugh it off. And so he's driving him along in the golf cart. And at one point, someone just hurls like a fastball of a full like beer can, just like throws it as hard as he can, and it nails Upchuck in the temple as he's driving the golf cart. And he leans over on Bobcat, where he's like bleeding out of the side of his head. And he's like, take the wheel, man. I'm hurt real bad. And I definitely remember there was, you know, there's like a big bus that goes around the festival, and it's got like spray paint all over it. And like you'd be driving by somewhere and people would attack the bus with like flower bombs and like soda and stuff. And at one point, like on the bus that goes around the gathering, these people are like, first of all, the driver's drinking beer as he's driving these people around, and people are crushing up their drugs and trying to drug the driver. Like, this guy had crushed up Seroquel and was trying to like put his crushed up Seroquel in the driver's beer.
Wow. Wow. Is this Seroquel like an antipsychotic?
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful.
Like, there were people who were like, what kind of drugs do they have at the gathering? I'm like, well, there's everything. I mean, there's a lot of psychedelics. They're not that big on beer. Like, I think we drank more beer than most people there. It's not really a beer
down on the
crowd.
List of stuff I want to try out.
So there's like psychedelics, and then there's weed, and then there is just shit that I think people stole from grandma's medicine cabinet. Yeah. Like, there, we'd see signs for a certain drug. I forget what the drug was, but I looked it up, and it was like, this is a sleep aid that hasn't been used since like the 70s.
Somebody tried to give it to you?
No, they had like a sign. They're like, hey, I got this stuff and this stuff and this stuff. And Matt Lee.
So there's just people openly selling shit.
Yeah, well, there's a bridge called Drug Bridge where you can buy drugs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But that was the thing I was wondering about with Coachella, because it's like, here you have like this place where all the, like, there's all these cops on the outside perimeter of Coachella, and there's all the drugs are inside. Like, all the drugs that you could ever want to bust are inside this place. Do they not have, are they not allowed to have undercover, you know, people like running in there? I don't know. It's weird.
I think it's kind of like containment strategy. It's like, just keep them out of the town.
Yeah.
Keep them in their little field and make sure they don't like run wild.
Or the government are the ones who are selling the drugs.
Oh, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They're trying to do that to keep us docile, dude.
Keep us
from fucking...
Put fluoride in their water. Yeah. Put Seroquel in the water.
Yeah, you don't notice the chemtrails when you're on Seroquel.
Nah, dude. Just go to sleep, man. Tune out, go to sleep.
Yeah, tune out. You won't notice fucking false flags everywhere.
False. So many of the flags are false. All the flags.
Me and my Freddy... my Freddy.
Your Freddy.
Me and my friend, Justin, have been trolling... chemtrail Facebook pages We get on there and I'll just.
You can't say anything that's too crazy for him, though.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like, I posted one where it was just a picture of like some trails in the sky. And I said, took this, I drove, got right under it to take this picture. As soon as I took the picture, instantly got diarrhea. And they're like, yeah, man, try doing this to cleanse the blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, goes on and on.
You have to drink
on.
Alkaline water to stop that,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, man. My friend Justin, he had a fucking good one. Like, I'll have to come back.
We read a thread. I forget what it was about. I think it was about Sandy Hook or something. It was like one of those ones where it's like a fractal geometry problem of conspiracies where one person will like talk about a conspiracy and then the first comment will be like, yeah, and also what about blah, blah, blah? And then the next person, and you'll be like six conspiracies deep by the sixth comment. And it was just such a hilarious thread that I like tweeted a link to it. And someone responds back. He's like, I did control F steel beams, was not disappointed.
Have you seen the Reptilians Exposed YouTube videos?
No.
They're so good. Reptilian. So there's all these videos of like pundits on TV who like there'll be a glitch in the filming,
mm-hmm.
that'll make them like tweak out just for a second.
Yeah.
And they like freeze frame on the like distorted face. It's like, see?
They must have had a field day with that woman who had like the weird mini stroke where she stopped making words for a minute.
I don't know that one.
You don't remember that one? It was like live TV and she's like,
pass your das and nas rasa, man.
And she has this look on her face like she's horrified, like she can't figure out why she can't make words. And she's like,
yeah,
a Terry Very Dersimer.
You think her reptile, she was getting
definitely
full reptile?
That was reptile,
yeah, for
language.
Sure.
Her lizards. Reptile, she just zapped out, started reverting.
You think Vin Diesel's a lizard person?
I hope so. It'd be rad if right as he was singing, he's all, it's been a long time. The fucking tail just shot out. Started like, they're like, what?
Yeah.
He might slowly turn into a lizard.
I think that's he's shedding his skin. That's why he's getting puffier.
Yeah. He's about to shed.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what is it about security guards? Like, there's always one really heavy set woman. It's like, you could have just got, at that point, you could have just hired a skinny chick because I'm not any more or less intimidated. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
The skinny chick is not
like
nearly
a really
as angry
fat.
As the fat one is.
I guess that might be true.
My high school, after I graduated, hired an IDF special agent.
Oh, wow.
Like this woman who had been fucking pounding Israelis or Palestinians in the face.
Yeah. Every time I go through security in the airport, I wish that we had the IDF where they don't make you take your shoes off. They just like ask you direct questions.
They just blow
questions.
Your feet off. They just fucking shoot you in the feet.
They don't. They just have like people that are actually trained in security like ask you direct questions, and they're like, all right, this guy's cool. Like apparently you can probably figure it out with a decent deal of certainty whether someone's about to like suicide bomb a whole plane if you talk to them a little bit.
Right.
That's what they're saying now?
No, but like Israel is like the most terrorist, like the biggest terrorist target in the world for, you know, the last 40 years or whatever. And they haven't bombed their airplanes.
Yeah, but we can't do that in the United States because then it would just be like, why'd you? What about this dude's vibe you didn't like? You're like, he was a sweaty dude with a turban, and he seemed a little nervous. It's like, you're fucking racist.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's how it works in Russia, too, where, granted, I only spent like 4 days there, but I'd just walk around and I'd see dudes dressed as soldiers, like asking for people's papers. And I would ask the Russian dudes, like, what happened there? It's like, oh, you look suspicious. You
know? Yeah.
Like, if you looked like you're from the Caucasus, they'd just walk up and ask you for your papers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know what a Caucasus is.
If you're like Chechen or Dagestani or Georgian or Armenian.
Okay.
Basically, if you're from, well, they call in Russia, they call people from the Caucasus black asses. Like if you look swarthy.
Got it.
They're like, oh, this could be like Chechen separatist.
Got it.
Yeah. There's a lot of little republics in that area that you would not have heard of probably.
It's always surprising to me when people that look alike fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's like there was always something about the Irish people. I go, you guys are just fucking Irish. Why don't you right. just show
well, that
up?
One, that one's like, you guys are white. What yeah. are you
you're both what? Christian. You're both white. White. Yeah, like, calm down.
This guy takes a different type of communion.
But even just like, even in like Africa, like, you kind of go like, hey, you guys are all from the same, you're all black dudes from the same fucking, you know, place.
Place like, the size of LA County. Yeah.
You're basically chopping off your neighbor. I don't know. It's weird.
What? I mean, it's not possible for black people to have like cultural or political differences. So it makes sense. Or for there to be like centuries long history.
Hey, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not heard of. So it's weird though.
I like that there was a Doug Stanhope bit where he was talking about British people or English dudes like trying to fight each other. Like, you're from across the street? Fuck across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what the fucking difference between a Protestant and a Catholic is.
Like just personally, I think like they're all just like equally crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're all just like, oh, it's like there's this guy like in the sky who's like on a throne. He's got a big beard. Like, no, there isn't. Duh. Don't you watch Bill Maher? Please, Protestant, Catholic, idiots.
I definitely think atheists may have surpassed Christians in annoyingness.
Sure. I mean, long ago.
At least on the internet. We're for like, sure on the internet.
Yeah, Facebook atheists.
Yeah. There's a and lot
definitely
of
like face theists.
There's a lot of Gamergate and the hardcore atheist crossover. So it's a big overlap in the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
So not your girlfriend, but your ex-girlfriend. I don't want to pick this scab again. Are you sad? How sad are you? How long did you guys date?
We dated for 8 years.
It's a long time.
But like there was like time in between where I was getting pussy. Lots of pussies.
That's good. I know the listeners were worried.
Yeah, we weren't together and I was like, I butt fucked this penthouse pet one time. Not trying to brag. I wanted you guys to know that's something that happened. That's just part of my story. So I felt it was relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in February 2012. But no, I'm not really sad about it. It's kind of weird when you date somebody for that long, because you just kind of are both going like, I guess this is what we're doing now.
Is it supposed to be this boring?
Yeah, there's not like any momentum. You're just kind of like, all right. And then somebody goes, I don't want to do this anymore. And you're like, okay. Okay, yeah. That's fine. You know, you're like, I would have kept going. You know,
right?
But that's fine.
I kind of wonder.
You don't have kids, and you're not married.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's just like a modern world thing where 50 years ago, you know, you lived in the same small town, and there was like, you know, two people that you were attracted to, and you picked one of them.
Yeah,
and you didn't really have that many options. You're like, yeah, well, yeah, totally. Sure, I picked.
Well, you didn't have any options because your family's picked for you, also.
Right? Yeah. And even if it wasn't picked for you like by your parents, it's sort of just picked for you by circumstance where you're like, right. Well, my dad fixed truck batteries and that's what I know how to do. So I'm going to go to the place where the truck batteries are made and fix them. And there's about, you know, 20 women my age in this truck battery
your
town.
Dad used to fix truck batteries?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a metaphor.
Ah.
I didn't say literally before. So that's how you know.
Got it.
Speaking figuratively.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I got confused.
No, but the reason I brought it up was because I think your ex-girlfriend had a Gary Busey story.
She.
This is actually really painful for me.
She worked at a restaurant, and she was waiting tables, and she was actually training another girl to be a waitress.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
And they went... Oh, I'm sorry. She was training to be a waitress at this restaurant. So she was with another girl who was training her. And she went to take this table and she realized it was Gary Busey. And the woman that he was with ordered. And then Gary Busey wanted to order. And he kept asking her. He would just say, I want blackened coffee. cod. Blackened cod. Do you have blackened cod? And she's like, we have, nobody blackens cod, right? It's like only you get like fried cod in like a fucking fish taco or whatever. And
yeah.
It's just like, well, she's like, well, we have cod in the fish tacos. Can you get it blackened? And then eventually, like, he said it so many times, and she was like new in training, and she just got like anxious, and she just walked away from Gary Busey. He started to get frustrated with her. I'm fucking up the story, by the way, because I always planned on having her tell the story.
Yeah.
But she just walked away. She's like, I don't know. He just got so angry. I walked away. And that's kind of when I knew like it wasn't going to work out between us, because I was like, hey, Gary Busey's fucking yelling at you. You stay there and get yelled at by Gary Busey.
I need to know how this
as
ends.
As long as you can possibly have that happen to you in your life.
You need to
That's
remember.
The best moment of your life, part of the best moment of my life.
Right.
You just walked away like a fucking idiot. That's what I knew. Probably wasn't going to work out.
Someone sent us, emailed us a story one time where they were like a production assistant. I think it was the Douche Baron. Anyway, that's a
Douche Baron.
Long, that's an old Frotcast reference. But so I guess he was like Gary Busey's PA on some movie where he had to like drive him around. And apparently Gary Busey has this thing where he like vehemently despises commercials.
Interesting.
So he was at like a sports bar, and you know, and there's like 10 TVs at the sports bar. And if the sound was on and it would go to a commercial, he would like yell until someone like muted it or played music during the commercial, because he would get really angry about commercials.
Yeah, that's
which is funny because he like acts in commercials still.
Right. Can you imagine if that was your dad? Like, because he was already pretty crazy, and then all of a sudden
he does have kids.
Dad just went into hyperdrive. Yeah, he had like his little mini red-haired version of him.
But did he? Oh, well, yeah, Jake Busey. But then he has a daughter too. I think who's younger. But Betty was Busey? He crazy? Was he crazy before the accident?
I mean, he definitely.
Does anybody know that?
He seemed like an intense. Like the hangout would probably be pretty intense.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be. Just a chill vibe.
Have you ever seen
be chilling with Busey?
Have you ever seen the Buddy Holly story?
Yes.
So Buddy Holly's
used
like
to play that on HBO on repeat. So
right,
I've seen all the movies that made its way on HBO.
Like you might be a decent actor for the Buddy Holly story.
Yeah.
Like Buddy Holly is like, you know, he's like a slightly built musician with glasses.
And his penis?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
And then they pick Gary Busey, who's like this giant like football player from the Midwest with like a booming voice,
yeah,
to play Buddy Holly. And he just doesn't look right. And then he plays all the songs, which I think that was why he won or got nominated. Did he win or did he get nominated for the Oscar? I think he just got nominated.
Yeah, I think he got nominated.
I think that was the year Amadeus, the guy from Amadeus, won. But anyway, so he got nominated for this Oscar because like he played all the songs live. And it's like, yeah, if you watch the movie, they all sound like terrible versions of Buddy Holly songs. It sounds like just some random actor playing like a shitty Buddy Holly cover.
Did you mention how he thought he got he was channeling Buddy Holly?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Vin Diesel's doing the same thing. Like he's got the spirit of Paul Walker is just inhabiting his
wife
beaters.
He's channeling like a Hyundai sport car.
Hyundai. I like the way you said it.
Hyundai.
That would be dope if Vin Diesel played Paul Walker's character in the next Too Fast, Too Furious.
Like they just cut to Brian O'Connor and Vin Diesel in a wig.
He had a blonde wig on. Blonde contacts.
Uh-huh.
Can you do that? Can we make that happen?
So is it weird now that you... I read a lot of reviews where they're talking about Paul Walker and it's like, oh, it's such a great loss. He was such like a great actor.
Dude, he already hit it out of the park so beyond his level that he could have ever expected.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. That guy killed it. Like, he died at the peak. The only thing... If he would have seen the box office returns for Fast 7 and then died, that would have probably been good. He would probably have been like, I'm cool. But I mean, at no point did that guy probably ever go, I've got so much I haven't done. It's like he's already, what else was he going to do?
Right. He's right at the top level of
potential that he could have ever achieved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, yeah, I was probably going to say something stupid.
Did he do anything else other than Fast and Furious?
He did a movie called Tracers? What was it? Deep he did Blue? A movie about parkour. With,
oh, fucking parkour. I was writing about Tracers today.
Really?
I wrote a post about like celebrities with their stunt doubles.
Uh-huh.
And there were 27 celebrities, and by celebrity 10, I was furious.
Just because
I don't, just the idea of like, so all the sources that I was writing from didn't even bother to find out the name
right.
of the stunt double. Yeah. They're just like, well, here's Bruce Willis with some bald guy who does all the shit that makes Bruce Willis famous.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who are these fucking idiots who are getting paid millions of dollars to not do anything?
Yeah, that's like, yeah, how do you get, can you go to a casting agent and be like, hey, I want to be a stunt double for someone? And they're like, well, you kind of look like Keanu Reeves.
I think, by the way, there must be.
Speaking of which, Tom Cruise hanging out of that airplane in the Mission Impossible trailer is the most batshit ass fucking crazy thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, do you think
he wasn't actually on a plane, though?
Yes, he did that.
No, he did not.
100% he fucking did that.
What?
He really hung off the side of an airplane.
What?
Yes.
Where did you see this?
Tom Cruise.
There's like a whole fucking article about it online. They interviewed Christopher McQuarrie, and they were like, what? Like, and he was like, dude, if a rock or a bird went through one of those jet engines, fucking Tom Cruise would have been dead. He's like, we had to go through the entire...
Skyrock.
We had to go through the entire takeoff patch. What the fuck are those things called? Landing strip? Takeoff?
Runway.
Runway?
A takeoff, takeoff landing strip.
Takeoff patch. Land. And
dude, she was so hot, she had it trimmed in a takeoff
pick
patch.
Pick up any,
dude,
like, nice. Small pebbles. So they had to go through, pick up any small pebbles that were on it. Like, they had to go through the whole thing because anything that shot up could have fucking killed the guy.
Well, why would they even do that? Why? I mean, that's the easiest stunt to do, where you just have a plane and a wind machine and a green screen.
Because I guarantee you, Christopher McQuarrie, Tom Cruise was all, they're like, hey, Tom, he's like, I want to do it, but I really want to hang out of the airplane. They're like, oh, you don't have to actually do that, man. He's like, no, that's the only reason I'm doing the movie.
So wait, he was grabbing the wing?
He was hooked
while
into a harness.
While it took off?
That was on the
okay,
side of
he
the
was
wing.
Harnessed?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck Tom Cruise. Jackie Chan, who does 100% of all of his stunts, grabbed the bottom rung of a rope ladder attached to a helicopter, which 360 swung him at high velocity above fucking Shanghai for like half an hour.
Oh, well, the Hong Kong thing.
No harness?
No harness. Just his hands.
Yeah, Jackie Chan.
His mighty Chan hands.
Yes.
Well, have you ever watched the outtakes of like Jackie Chan's Hong Kong action movies where they're showing you the stunts that he actually does?
Yeah.
He gets fucked up and it's like, he's just doing a backflip off of like a third-story building. What the fuck?
It's like, yeah, that's not. That was never going to go well.
They didn't have a lot of safety standards in Hong Kong. I definitely have seen a video of the Hong Kong stunt guys just training, and they're seriously on the second story of a building, and they're doing backflips and landing on their feet off a second floor, and it's just on grass. It's not like on. It's not like on a pad
or
anything.
They're basically just the guys that work in manufacturing plants, but instead of inhaling fumes, they're just being thrown off buildings. It's like the same quality quality of life.
I mean, they probably have the same manager from the from the grocery store.
You know how fucking
of
awesome
comedy?
It would be if Jackie Chan made like a Foxconn themed action movie.
Yeah.
Well, that would be dope.
He's actually like a hardcore supporter of the Chinese government.
Right.
Like there's been interviews where he's like, yeah, I think we have too much freedom now.
Right. I still love Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's a
he's the champion.
The champion.
Yeah. Chinese box office is the next big thing.
For film drunk.
No, for movies.
He should
like
run for
the
office.
Chinese, I think Furious 7 made like $100 million in China or something already, and they're like, oh wow, we can make almost as much money in China as we can in the U.S. now.
If we just put one dead Asian in our movie. It was so weird that
it is kind of weird that the whole movie is kind of based around
like 60% Latino demographic. Did you read the demographic?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's 30
and like 25% Asian, and you're like, they showed one Asian and he was dead. Except
right.
There was a really hot Asian girl.
So like the street racing culture is, you know, mostly like Latino and Asian, and then that's most of the audience. And then the movie, there's like one Latin girl and then one Asian guy that dies like right away.
I love the phrase street racing culture.
Yeah. Well.
Like they have a museum.
Yeah.
It's got ground effects on the museum.
Street racing community.
Mm-hmm. They get very so angry if you don't respect their contributions.
You ever been to a street race?
I have not.
You've never lived?
Not on purpose.
You've never drifted?
Have
Tokyo
you been
drifted?
One?
No, never
they used
have.
To do...
You never drifted into
I've never drifted in any manner.
On the 56, when the 56 was being built in San Diego.
You drifted?
No, I didn't drift, but I would watch people do street racing because there was like one way to get onto the 56, but it was like over like a dirt patch. And then once you were on it, you had like 3 miles of highway that didn't end anywhere. And so there was no like cops or anything, and there was no traffic on this freeway because you couldn't really get to it, except you had to drive down this dirt road. And then you were on this, but this perfectly paved freeway that was just basically like a fucking, you know, racetrack. So they would have street races out there.
Yeah, I've never been to a street race, but I did go to college in San Diego in the early 2000s. So I feel right. like I more or less went to a street race.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Everybody you had were, the mufflers.
They had those. They had like everybody had like a Toyota Supra with the yeah. with the exhaust that was like really wide, and it made it loud, but not like muscle car loud. It was just like.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think that makes the car go fast. I don't know much about cars, but I don't think that makes it go faster.
Yeah. How hot was that girl, though, in the street race in Fast
and Furious 7? You mean Daenerys is second in command?
No.
What's her name? Emmanuel?
There's this one scene. Emmanuel Yarbrough. Right?
Yeah. No, that's that's the sumo wrestler UFC 1.
The 700-pound.
Do they drive a Hyundai?
yes.
No, but there's this Asian girl, Japanese girl, and she's all tatted up, and she's in a little miniskirt, but that miniskirt's not really covering anything.
Like, the camera, there was like a tracking shot that like went underneath her pubic mound, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Her mons?
Yeah, there was a lot her of mons shots.
There was a mons tracking shot.
There was a mons tracking shot of her and of the girl from Game of Thrones. Like, yeah, when she's coming out of the... She's coming out of the ocean, and it's like...
Wait, Khaleesi's in the new Fast and Furious?
Not Khaleesi, but you know her, like, right-hand woman, the really hot, like, mixed race.
Does she wear, like, a loincloth? I don't know her, but I'm trying to picture
She's in a bikini, and she does a lot of bouncing, and there's, like, a lot of close shots of her dripping wet.
Game of Thrones, it's very sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know. The plot's very complicated.
It is.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
It is.
It's just, you know.
Me and Joe were talking about this. We watch it and we understand Trekkies all of a sudden.
Yeah. I get so nerded out about it. Like some people go, I don't like this. And I go, just stop.
I watched
my whole
first,
fucking life.
I watched the first season.
Yeah. Didn't like it.
No, I dug it. I had like access issues to HBO, so I couldn't follow up with it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I got the point. I feel like I got it.
Justin Halpern once said to me, he goes, it's like, we were trying to explain it to somebody, and he goes, it's like Lord of the Rings with doggy style fucking.
Right.
That's basically.
Yeah.
I remember watching an episode with my parents that was like the one where the sea prince.
Joffrey?
No. The guy from the Iron.
Yeah, yeah. The Ironborn.
Yeah, the Ironborn.
Oh, Theon Greyjoy?
Yeah, exactly.
With the sea wife, and there was a lot of doggy style fucking on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
very
awkward.
Are we talking
awkward.
About Theon
yeah,
Greyjoy?
Yeah, that's Theon Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that's Lily Allen's little brother, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Lily Allen, the pop star?
Yeah.
From Britain?
Yeah. And then she has a song called Alfie.
My whole life just changed.
She has a song called Alfie. First of all, that the first two Lily Allen albums are pretty great, and I'm not ashamed.
I don't know who Lily
that.
Allen is.
She's a British pop star. She wrote a song called Alfie. It's about her brother Alfie, and then like 2 years later, Theon Greyjoy. It's Alfie Allen. Like that's
oh,
actually
wow.
that dude. Yeah.
Now I'm gonna listen to that song.
Yeah.
There was a scene in Game of Thrones where, this girl, I think, is getting fisted up the ass, or she's maybe getting fisted up the pussy.
Jesus Christ.
And we're like, all right, well, I don't know what kind of... So anyways, I saw the girl at the from the scene at an Astro Burger, and we were like, me and my buddy, we're like, oh my God, you're blah, 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 blah. And we're like, hey, was that going in your pussy or in your ass? She goes, I don't fucking know. She didn't know. That's like Game of Thrones trivia.
That's going to be on the Criterion commentary.
She didn't know if it was going in her ass or in her pussy. She's like, I don't know. I'm not sure what they were trying to convey.
Wouldn't you ask that? Like, what's my motivation in the scene?
Yeah. Is it my ass or my pussy motivation? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would totally ask.
Yeah.
Well, I just think me personally, my directing style is more, I would tell them, you're eating ass, fisting ass, fisting pussy. Mm-hmm.
That's more fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be an interesting... I always thought, like, it's weird. HBO shit is weird because they're great shows, but they're so such a graphic sex. Like, I'm at this girl at an audition, fucking gorgeous, and she's like, oh, yeah, I was on Entourage. I was like, oh, that's cool. So then later... That was her only credit. And then so later I go home and I'm like, I looked up like the episode she was on and I looked up the scene and it's just her getting fucking pounded by Vinny Chase for like 5 seconds and then it cuts. It's just like, that's your only credit now. Yeah. And she had to take that part.
Right.
She's just an actress. She's like, all right. And then now do you tell your parents that you're on Entourage? Or do you not tell them because it's just 5 seconds of your tits flopping up and down? I don't know.
It's very artistic.
So it's astonishing that like the sex thing gets so much of a draw in these shows, considering how much porn is available for free.
But look, nudity makes the shows better.
It's like the same feeling I had when I was 10, where I saw, like, I was talking about this recently, like the movie Big, where Tom Hanks touches the boob.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't do that. You're allowed to touch it? And it's like that same instinct that drives all of these shows. Yeah. Like, who gives a fuck that there's doggy style in Game of Thrones? You can see actual doggy.
So it makes it better because it's not like you're watching it just for the doggy style, but the fact that they're depicting all aspects of life, I think it makes it better.
Well, they're depicting the dragon and anal aspects of life, specifically.
Yeah.
You know. This is true. And it's like you get to know these characters. So it's not just like you clicked a button, now they're fucking. It's almost as if you had watched the setup to the porn, but it was awesome.
Right.
And then it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like when you see Daenerys' fat butt, you're like, oh my God.
That's what porn used to be, though. There used to be like a whole plot line. Yeah. I guess that must be like the reemergence of like 70s and 60s
porn. That's right. It's deep throat. The revenge of deep throat.
And the people just want to feel something.
But I feel like they're hotter than they are in porn. Like a lot of the girls you see like in Entourage or you see in Game of Thrones, it would be rare to come across. Maybe not now because there's so much porn and there's really attractive women doing it, but... I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I think
feel like the girls on Game of Thrones are like world class beauties, you know.
I also think there's an element of like it's not your fault, where it's like you didn't sit down alone with your computer, like an honest person, and search porn and jerk off to it. It's like oh well, there just happens to be tits in my face right now. Mm-hmm. Well, not my fault. I'm not sad.
Yeah, well,
I'm just a genre fan.
Yeah. Well, I was.
Well, it's perfect for me. I've never been embarrassed about watching porn, and so it's like you've combined all of my interests. You've combined like sex
and crazy
and sword fighting and dragons. Hell yeah!
Here's what pisses me off about Game of Thrones is that so I don't know if you knew this about me, but I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Uh huh.
So people give me shit about that a lot, and these are the same people that fucking watch Game of Thrones, which is all just people body slamming dragons or whatever, and then boning, and it's the same exact bullshit.
So why don't you like Game of?
I object to the prestige that it has in our culture because it's just like it's fucking like dumb D&D smut. With like a sophisticated plot line.
I feel like I feel like it's
smart D&D smut. How about that?
Which is great. I love. Yeah, that's what I want.
But I feel like it's better written than WWE.
That's true. Everything literally in the world is better.
Fan fiction written.
On the internet is
like.
Better
there's
written.
Definitely lines in Game of Thrones that I laugh out loud at.
You know what is exactly
really
like
funny?
What exactly like WWE is watch Furious 7. Like that
I'm going to.
Yeah. It is absolutely
now that we spend an hour and a half talking about
every single line that The Rock says is like a WWE interview line. It's great.
The Rock?
Yeah.
He's in Furious 7?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He absolutely is. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good.
He kills it too.
That's his whole career. Everything
he's like
he
misogynistic in true. It too for some odd reason. He just says, "Shut up, woman!" like 17 times in the fucking movie. You're like, was that necessary? I don't know.
I was talking to this guy to Dave Chen from Slash Film, and he's like, "Yeah, this movie passes the Bechdel test." And I'm like, I feel like that's kind of missing the point of the Bechdel. I feel,
what is the Bechdel?
I guess.
Oh, it's a feminist litmus.
Oh God, I don't know.
No, it's actually interesting. It's actually really interesting. The Bechdel test is, it's 3 points. Are there female characters? Do the female characters talk to one another? And when they talk to one another, do they talk about something other than the male characters in the movie? And if it meets all those criteria, then it's a feminist approved movie.
Well, which that's, I think is actually I read the origin of the Bechdel. It was just she was explaining whether what would make her interested in watching a movie, and people took that as like a test of whether it was like it was never really like a feminist litmus test. She was just explaining what she looked for in a movie, which yeah, and
I still think it's fairly elegant.
Yeah, it is, and I also like her books. So, but. But yeah, so but the idea was like, oh yeah, it passed the Bechdel test. I'm like, yeah, but it also kind of just like had a camera like attached to a chick's pussy, and
did it have a camera attached to it?
Just about.
Oh, you mean the Mons shot?
Which I don't necessarily think is unfeminist, but it's sort of like I think if you're evaluating Furious 7 in that,
you mean for the?
I think you've missed something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be sort of like watching pro wrestling and be like, I don't know, I like this Bushwhackers bit, it seems a little racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, all right, I guess.
Farouk seems like a character.
Who are the Bushwhackers?
Do you remember Farouk?
You don't remember the Jesus Christ. Am I that much older?
Farouk?
Well, then again, I probably never haven't watched wrestling since I was like 8, so that's where my wrestling
references are. The Bushwhackers come. Black guys? Is that what's going
on?
No,
they're rednecks.
Oh.
They're rednecks and they're
there's like a whole plot thread going right now about a Tea Party Border Patrol wrestler.
Oh, like a Minuteman?
Yeah, a Minuteman who fights a like the big like the most famous Mexican wrestler and loses.
Ooh.
So that's the progress our society has made.
Right
now the Tea Party guy is the heel.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
But I think it's funny when people are like writing like a sociological essay, like, oh, see how much progress we've made? Like the Tea Party guy is the heel now. And you're like, all right, I guess
I can see
that. That's
where it washes up. That's like right. Where all the other shit ends up.
That's true.
If it makes it to pro wrestling, it's made it.
Yeah. All right, you sold me. All right, I think we're going to wrap this thing up. We're coming up on 90. Matt Louvre.
Word.
Do you have anything to plug? Where can we find you?
My Twitter. All of my Twitter followers are from this podcast, so nice. Please fucking
follow
me
more
at Matt Louvre.
MATTLOUV.
Correct.
Boom.
See you there.
You guys both used to have stage names, and now you don't.
Yeah, I used to be Matt yours? Gardens.
Matt Gardens?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, not very interesting.
Matt Gardens.
Joe is now Joe Sinclitico, formerly Joe King.
Follow me at Monshot. Daily.
dailymonshot.tumblr.com.
God, Mons is a good. I'm gonna name my son Mons.
All right, you guys, thanks a lot for. I hope this sounds okay. We had a different setup than we usually do, but anyway,
at Joe Sinclitico.
Fraud on
Twitter.
Yeah,
spell Sinclitico.
Sinclitico. KJFEBT. No.
All right, you guys, fraud on.